Okay, we're holding him in Simon Lamed Beis. Sif Mem Dalad, Shabura Sif Katan Resh Dalad. So we roll the klaf, Misavlis Kitasa, Resh and Nosa the Beis. When you put the klaf, Resh Dalad, you put the roll up the klaf inside, the parchment inside that you're putting inside. You roll it up, commercial mezuzah, shiniglelas me'echot tapishma. You roll from echot to shema, below the hepech. Mitam shinisbarer b'yerodea simen reish peches. Like the reason says over there. Now, that's a little bit of a difficult phrase, because the Shulchan Aruch does not say reason in reish in yerodea reish peches. But the Rambam, who the Shulchan Aruch takes it from, the Rambam says that you want to be able to open up and start reading. So if you roll from Echad to Shema, when you open it up, you'll see Shema. You roll all the other ways. So that's partial what Mishra was referring to. So now you have to wrap it around with a cloth cotton. So that Allah is not ma'akev. If you have not wrapped them around with a piece of cloth, it's still kosher. Then the cloth cotton. Who then bechatichas baged imain lo cloth prima god. This halacha is not only cloth; it's even a garment is kosher. It says now.
What even garment is kosher?
Even a piece of cloth is kosher for this purpose. But some are makbid only cloth kosher. But shalom rezayim. It can't be from a non-kosher animal. Even this opinion holds that a piece of cloth is kosher.
It's a piece of cloth.
Yeah.
Tesla,
maybe
it's like.
Yeah. The kibun shahu may be cloth. So the Beis Yosef says, if you want to use a cloth, use a cloth. If you're using cloth already, you can't use from a non-kosher animal. Cloth is not a problem in the kosher's issue. So that's his explanation. Then the next step is halacha moshe. You have to wrap it around with sar. Now, the language of the Shulchan Aruch says only introduces the din of halacha moshe v'sinai when we talk about wrapping around with the sar behema. It doesn't mention halacha moshe v'sinai wrapping around with this cloth or matlas, what it is. That's actually malchus v'sharnim. Whether the wrapping with the cloth cotton or the matlas is required or not, that's halacha moshe. That's malchus v'sharnim. The Rama says that's also lochol of Moshe v'Sinai, and on that point the Rosh disagrees, and the Rosh says that wasn't part of the lochol. The cloth around the sar was not a part of the lochol of Moshe v'Sinai. But the sar, everybody agrees, is lochol of Moshe v'Sinai. That's the Shulchan Aruch mentioned, and that the Shulchan Aruch mentions the lochol of Moshe v'Sinai. Well, kenim lo karach aser olea posel, av shekarach olea cloth. So if there's no sar, it's possible because the lochol of Moshe v'Sinai. And these things is ma'akev. This is the way it has to be, and that's it.
What's ma'akev? The sayer?
Yeah. Wrapping around with sar. Now, then the Ramos said the minig was to put sar on the parsha, then a piece of cloth around that, and then sar again, a second time. Now, why is that? Some have the opinion that the order has to be sar and then klaf. Some say the order is klaf and then sar. We do both opinions. We do sar, klaf, and then sar a second time. The gross says it's not ma'akev in which one really is. So really, mikradin, if you put sar or klaf or klaf or sar, wouldn't make a difference. The minig is to use klaf as a sar of an egel. Because she's kremaisa egel, but you have to remind us that we have sins or in our past, and we should not do it again.
What the klaf reminds
the sar is from an egel. But gam kedei lechaper olav and zen. Also, this should act as a kapar
from a calf.
Correct.
We don't want the sar that wraps the cloth, or we don't want the sar that sticks out when you tie the button.
Those are the same sar.
So, but what is he referring to?
It's all one.
It's all one.
That sar, which you wrap around the cloth, then you extend it out. It sticks out. That little sar which is sticking up is this from the sar which you wrapped around the cloth.
I thought it's the one that ties the. That seals up the tefillin.
No, there's gid. There's gid which you use for sewing the tefillin.
The one that when you look at the tefillin shirosha is like a little hair that sticks out. It looks like a filament.
Right. That's hair, which was not used to sew up. That went around the cloth.
And how does it get out there?
Then you extend it out enough, then. That when you pull through the thread, the gid that you use to tie it, some of it is pulled up through that. You pull some of that through that hole.
And the sharosh has four parshiyos. So,
right.
So which one is that?
So that's what Gabe asked me yesterday, right? I told him I wasn't sure which one they use.
Oh, it's one of them. It's not all four of them, unless using one string to tie them all four.
No, we don't do that.
There's no way to get, because the two aren't. Isn't it housed totally separately, that there's no real connection between... The parshas are housed all separately.
Correct.
Okay, so there's no way that...
Well, the bottom is open.
The bottom is open. The sar, theoretically, you could... Go around the second one.
Oh, I see.
Theoretically, you could do it. Very long hair.
Yeah. Oh, so do you think that could be?
That I'm not sure. I'm not sure what to do with that. But that's what sticks out is that sar.
Oh, so and what about the one that sews the bottom together? That's
good. That's a separate.
And that you don't see.
Well,
you can't see that when you put it on your film, you don't see that one. Or you do.
Well, that's that sphere which you see around the you, when you look at your film from the top, you see there's a sphere around.
Right.
That's good. That's not sar.
So it's a different material.
Right. It's a sinew, as opposed to hair.
But I thought that it's right in the same spot, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
It is, right? I always thought that was just a continuation of that.
No, it's a separate thing.
Okay.
It's worth it to come tonight. It was worth it to come tonight.
It's always worth it.
Okay.
That's why I come.
Okay, Baruch Hashem. Lekach noigin lekaim dimish name. So we do both. We're not, no, wrong line. We got Kadesh the Chaper Lovin.
They must look very similar, though.
Yeah, but you know.
I mean, I assume a Seifer can tell them apart, but they look pretty much the same to me. What?
Is the Gid thicker?
The Gid is thicker, usually.
Yeah, you look at it, it's thicker.
The Gid is thicker.
The Seifer is very, very fine.
But the one, that little hair that's sticking out there, that's like. That looks pretty thick too.
Compared to the gid, I mean, I think it's here.
Now I have to look.
Okay. Because of your rabbi, the mizrach.
They have a lab course on this.
You know,
if I fill it in and do it.
Because of your rabbi, the mizrach time, Toy Vlasa is called Tikkun Tfilin Me'or Ego, Ufuge Me'oist and Shoist and Ratsuas Me'or Tayosh. So the Yerabba says that really we can extend this idea of egel and apply it to the. You use it for the batim. You use it for the ritzuas. They would do everything from or egel.
Who does?
This El Yerabba suggests that that's what we should. What we should
do.
I don't know. I'm not aware that we in general do make it out of the from somewhere in the bovine family.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's necessarily an egel or not. I'm not aware of that. Okay, so ksas of the sar has to stick out. I'm going to run the shiver kibeger shehiskim shesar hayotzi yepachos meorich sara. So how far does it have to stick out?
Also to atone for the sin of.
So the Mogen Aram says that it shouldn't stick out longer than the length of a sara of a barley corn. And But Rav Kreger also says that that halacha l'maisa we're makbid on that zoyer that it should be less than it should stick out less than the length of a barley corn. So that's exactly chutz l'batim. V'yech armer shiya etzel habayis by the Rosh Harosh, where it's four separate batim. So which one do you put it next to? So some say you put it next to the bayis shemunach by parshas kadesh. So some say it comes out next to the parsha, right where the parsha of Kadesh comes out, which is, let's say, all the way over. Well, that's a good question. Where it is? Let's say over to the right. And some say it's Hayim Shemaya, which would be all the way over to the left. So what we do is we take it out by the Vayim Shemaya, which is over to the left. When we say over to the left, that itself is a question. What do we mean when we say over to the left? There's four parshas. There's four. So if this is the fourth one, does it come out on the leftmost side of the left or on the right side of the left? It comes out from the leftmost one on the right side of that one. So between number three and number four is where it comes out. So that's it's in the parsha Bahayim, next to the parsha Bahayim Shemoya, more but inclined towards where Kaddish is, which is all the way over to the right. Okay.
Between Egel and the Egel and Tefillin. That you're using the tefillin as a kapara for the eagle, is there any metaphysical connection there?
To my non-initiated understanding, which means, in other words, I didn't see this anywhere, but the suggestion is because we found in general that the power of the Sharosh is Kishem Hashem Nikra Lecha, which is really what Klai Yisrael's state of being was. After the Chet Ha'egel, before the Chet Ha'egel, was that they carried the Shem Hashem on them. So Tefillin acts as some way to bring that state of being.
Could I?
You want to try?
Hypothesize?
Yeah.
When they said Nasa V'Nishma, Hashem gave them two crowns, and then basically when they did the Chet Ha'egel, Hashem removed the crowns, and I think that there's a lotion of. For tefillin is pe'er.
It's a crown.
It's like a crown that you put on your head.
Very nice.
It's just a joy. I didn't see it anywhere, so if you don't like it, you could reject it.
Now, what?
That's good.
That's good. It's very good. Thank you. Now, what we accomplished with this minig is how to tell your Rashi and your Ben Otam apart. Because
the order is different.
The order is different. So by Rashi, you'll have Ahim Shemaya all the way over to the left. It's the leftmost parsha. Mm. By Ben Otam, it's parsha number three. So where the Saras come out, or they come out between three and four, or between two and three, is the difference between Rashi and Ben Otam. Okay. Now, if your saris don't stick out, so but yeah, but it's kosher. Like, you know, a person came to me like, you know, his saris eventually, I guess, sort of slipped back inside. You know, so is that a problem? So but yeah, but it's kosher.
Can't decipher, open it up, and
he could. You know what I'm saying, but you know, meanwhile, it's okay. Memhei, sif memhei. Eaten kol parsha b'bayis shulav. Each parsha goes into its container, its bayis. Shtkeis kufa ma'umad b'beisun, and it's put in vertical. So, if you look at this, is the top of the tefillin. So the lines are going to be reading this way. You know, it's a vertical. The word shema is all the way up on top, right? As opposed to putting them in such a way that they would be lying horizontally. Skufa, kederek kriyoso, kederek shemamidim sefer Torah behechol. So that they're standing up like the way you would read them, and there's a way that you'd have the sefer Torah in the hechol. That there's, it's, you know, goes read from higher to lower. If you put it in lying down, it would be kosher. You have to take them out and redo them. Meanwhile, they're kosher, you have to redo it.
Wow.
Now, there is a sheet of Rishonim which says not like this. There's a sheet of Rishonim which says that the order, it's being horizontal. But we're passing not like that.
Everything else is vertical.
What?
Everything else is vertical.
Right.
I mean, say, there's only three things. It's basically Sefer Torah, Mezuzah. Sefer Torah is vertical, and so is Mezuzah, right?
Correct.
It's a little strange that you have a sheet that would say horizontal when everything else is.
Don't they lay them down the bell shul as well?
Hmm?
Do they do that in the shul, but they lay them down horizontally? Sefer Torah?
I don't know.
You said there was a shul like that?
Maybe the bells? I could be wrong.
I don't know. I wasn't aware to look when I davened there.
I was there, but I didn't look into this. I wasn't there when they were laying.
I was there for, I davened on the Shabbos one time.
In the big shul?
In the big shul?
At some shul.
Mm-hmm. So you're putting it vertical, but you're putting it right side up with the top line on top and the bottom line on the bottom towards the opening. So you want to put the person who's facing it. It should be, you would say that, you know, it's in there like this way, but it would be more towards his right than opposed to having the beginning all the way in the back of the bottom. Mishabur, you should all decide. Pav di lab hachi. Would be upside down, which is incorrect. So you want it to be that they're going to play, open it up in a way that they're immediately readable. In general, we find that when you wear them, when we put them into the shalrosh, the more it says that the order is that's according to Rashi, it's kaddish, vayivicha, shema, vayim shemoya. We start with kaddish first from the person looking at the tefillin. He's called the kare, because the person's wearing it, he's not, the person looking at it would be reading as it were the tefillin. So he starts from his right and goes left, kaddish, vayivicha, shema, vayim shemoya. Similarly, he has to have it that the front of the beginning of the klaf is towards him, so he would open it up and be able to read it. The person is looking at the wearer. So he wants the beginning of the parasha, which you remember, you rolled from the end to the beginning. So it means the beginning of the parasha is outside. You rolled from Echad to Shema, so you're rolling around, so Shema is on the outside. So you want that place where Shema is to be facing towards the curve. Okay. Mem Zayin. If Kosa Kol Arba Parshiyos Beklaf Echad Ksherim Filo En Rebek Beneim. So if you wrote all of the four parshas instead of four for the shalrosh, which is supposed to be in four separate pieces of klaf, if you wrote it all in one klaf, that's going to be kosher, and you'll roll up the first one and stick it into the first section, and the next one you'll roll that a little bit and stick it into the second section. But that situation where you did that, even though there's no, you didn't even leave a large gap between the parshiyos. In that situation, I think I have a picture of it over here. Right. I have a picture. I talk about it in an olive, but. The picture of the gid going in between the batim. There's a little piece. There's a you would run a piece of gid in between each one of the batim.
During the manufacturing.
When you're sewing it up.
And you leave it there.
And you leave it there.
So that there's a batim
hefsek. So that creates a hefsek. You see, like there's a loop there, and it goes around. So there's a piece of gid separating each one of the batim. So that's only required in a case where the klav is one klav. So we have to show some type of a hefsek in the batim. It's not that. It's not required otherwise. There are some people which do it other way, and all the time. They always do that. They run that through that gid through there.
Why would there ever be such a situation that we have one klav? I know that was brought up before, but
why would they do that? I don't know.
Why would we have one klav?
Why would the person written one klav supposed to write in four?
It have to be separate anyway. Couldn't you cut it?
You could cut it afterwards. It depends. You know, you have to. You're talking about that there has to be enough space that you feel enough space to cut it comfortably, right? Okay. There has to be something in between the batim. Shayad kaiser arba parshiyos beklav echad. By the shayad, you dafka make right in one klav. Megalon and son misavin lechilos, and you roll from the last parsha back to the first parsha. Mekara klav aleim, and then you take that one big piece, one of klav, which has all four parshiyos in it. You wrap it with a piece of klav. Misar ego, and then you wrap that with sar ego. Maglisim mebesim. Then you and you put it inside the conceit, so which holds it, just like you do with the shorosh. You mix up all the arba klofim. V'nichem arba batim is yotzo. If by the shayad you wrote the four parshiyos of the shayad on four different pieces of cloth, and then you put it inside four different batim. So the shalyad has four sections now. It's yotza, but that's only true u'shayatle perichasa or alarabatim shi'anirim kabayas echad. You basically put another layer of ore on top of the four batim out of one piece, so that makes it into one ore. Hagor b'minig l'dabkem b'devik shi'a hakol b'kiklaf echad. So the meaning of the situation would be that you would glue them together, and that makes them into like one piece, and it has to be the item that you use for gluing, it has to be from a kosher material.
When you say kosher material, if it's synthetic, is that considered kosher or not kosher? Synthetic glue, if it doesn't come from an animal. That kosher, not kosher.
What time is it?
A quarter to.
If you hold that you need to have devik for this purpose, and this is right. What's making it, you would have to use from a kosher animal.
Not synthetic.
Right. If you hold that it's not ma'akev, so then you can make out. Then you make out of synthetic.
Ma'akev means, in other words, if you use it from a trade animal.
No, if you hold that having the devik is not ma'akev.
Oh, okay.
Resh tezayim, mishabur resh tezayim. Filu, even if there's no rabbit. But some of the kolshken kesheyesh rebuch ben parshiyos. If he wrote it on one clap, but there's space in between the parshiyos. That which would gain the shiuchah lechatchem you're able to cut between the parshiyos. V'yishtayer, if he wrote the shorosh, all four parshiyos in one klav. And after he cuts them, v'yishtayer k'dei hek of gvil l'cholachos, the shaper dami. The gap in between each one is enough that there'd be enough non-written space to have what's called k'dei hek of gvil, which means when you start from the end and you roll up towards the beginning, so you, now you're at Shema, there's a little more cloth beside that. It's enough to go around one more time. It's called Hekef Gevil. So I wrote on one cloth, but there's enough of a space in between that theoretically I could cut it and have Hekef Gevil. That would definitely be good. Even when he wrote it, it was one cloth. So, but now cut it and separate it and find it. How do you extend all the parshas into the batin? So you roll up the first one and stick it in the first parsha. Then you roll up the part of the second one and stick it into the second parsha. But it means the klaf is going like this, in this direction. So the words are going to be horizontal, not vertical. They're lying down.
This is where it's all one piece?
All one piece.
How are you going to get into the second one?
I'm going to take... So I have this long piece of cloth. Right? So I'm going to make a hump like that. Stick it into bias number one. Make another hump next to it and stick it in the bias number two. But by doing that, my letters aren't standing up. When I'm doing that, they're going to be lying down. That's what he's raising.
Does it have to be rolled? Because how can you roll each one four times if they're all connected?
No, you can't roll it all the way, but you'll have.
So you just stuff it in?
You're stuffing it in, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's spaces between the bottom. It's not just...
It's a little. There's a wall, but same. But you're going to go up into one, down, up into the next one.
So there
one,
is
down.
Some space.
A little bit. I mean,
this is b'diavad because we said they should be standing up the chatchim.
Correct. So that's what the chacham is saying. Even though by doing so,
there's space on the top between the top of the. There's a partition, and then there's a space between that and the roof, like.
No, I mean you can put the parshas all the way up. You can put it as far high as you want. I feel like kosher. Kiskiva and Ellen the mitzvah. Can't run the parish. The fima shekaz b'shiyos b'shem Maria ben Chaviv. Can't hiskam abach. I'm going to run b'shem da kamash. Let's hold it here. And if you don't mind, after tomorrow we can maybe just catch up. We'll finish off this. So we'll meet down here after tomorrow. There's no.